This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, which includes the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus on 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning once again to you, Lori. Can you believe how fast this week went? I mean, here it is.
On the eve of the runoff.
Exactly. And let me just say, folks, I've got Congressman Mo Brooks coming on first, and then State Auditor Jim Ziegler coming on to talk about his race for Secretary of State. So we're going to have an interesting program, I think, this morning. Key thing here is for everyone to get out and vote tomorrow. We had 20% participation rate, which is absolutely horrible, especially for Baldwin County. The state itself was at 23%. I mean, this isn't good, folks. You can't have a small minority of people going to the polls choosing who's going to be, you know, in charge of things, essentially, at that level. It just doesn't make sense. But be that as it may, today is also Juneteenth, Emancipation Day from the slave period. And I think it's what I wanted to say about this is interesting, okay? Clearly, emancipation made things right with the values of the Declaration of Independence and the reality of slavery, okay? They were incompatible. And so it was going to be worked out to where somewhere, somehow, if we were going to live up to the values of the Declaration, that we would have to come to grips with this. Now, the Civil War took place as over this issue, in part. I mean, there are other things around this. But Lincoln went ahead and began emancipation in Washington, D.C. in April of 1862. The original emancipation agreement allowed for states that were in rebellion, if they signed the emancipation agreement, you know, if they basically gave up the rebellion, they could keep their slaves. Now think about this for a second, okay? We've all been told how slavery was the main reason why the South was fighting. Okay, so Lincoln offers an emancipation agreement that doesn't go into effect until January of 1863. So between April of 62 and January of 63, any state that's in rebellion could have ended the rebellion and kept its slaves. It's something to think about. And here's the reason I want to bring this up. You have an article in the Press Register over this weekend. And that article basically takes us right back to this whole business of the 1619 Project, the issue of CRT, and arguing that Juneteenth really represents the continuation of the struggle against racism. Now, it seems to me that's fundamentally at odds with all of the progress that has been made since the Civil Rights Movement. And look, I'm not going to relitigate this, but the reality is you cannot talk about progress without recognizing what progress was there. And I'm sorry if that doesn't fit with what the BLM folks are saying. And I really don't care what they say. The reality is, unless we start moving in the direction of reconciliation and stop stirring the pot over racism that may or may not exist, but what we do know exists is a system that now has black senators, black congressmen, black mayors, black sheriffs, black everybody. Where's the racism in Chicago? Lori Lightfoot is the one who is the mayor of Chicago, the worst city in terms of black-on-black crime, more black people killed every damn weekend. So what are we to conclude about this? It's not white racism that's doing that. And I think the sooner we get over this, the better we're going to be as we kind of heal from all of this BLM business, which is nothing more than Marxism 101 trying to destroy this country. And that's why these elections have to be taken seriously. And that's why I'm glad to be able to introduce, Congressman Mo Brooks coming on the show this morning. Morning, Congressman.
Good Good morning.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry that you caught that part of the... I was hoping to be finished by the time you got here. But at any rate, I'm certainly glad you're here. We are all anticipating tomorrow. And I think that, our sense of it is that, you've got some momentum. You're moving in the right direction. What is your sense of where you stand right now as we close in on the election tomorrow?
Cautiously optimistic. It is all about who shows up to vote. And conservatives and Republicans are slowly but surely figuring out that my opponent is neither.
You know, we've been running ads down here that basically say exactly that. She's a rhino. She's an imposter conservative. And you've certainly given voice to that. Why don't you just give people a few examples of what we're saying is so true about who she really is?
All right. Well, I'll start off with a quote by the executive director of the Democratic Party. Well, let me go to a local one here in the Tennessee Valley first, which you may be aware of, a fellow by the name of Parker Griffith.
Yes.
He has publicly endorsed Katie Britt. Parker Griffith is a former Democrat senator, former Democrat congressman, former Democrat gubernatorial candidate. He's got a Katie Britt in his yard, okay?
Right.
Yard sign in his yard. He would not endorse Katie Britt unless she was something other than conservative and Republican. Then you've got the executive director of the Alabama Democratic Party, who was also Doug Jones's campaign manager, said about 2 weeks ago in a tweet, so this is public, quote, "Yep, Katie Britt's pretty awesome, super helpful to us in the Doug Jones thing in 2017, and showed real leadership in supporting the gas tax increase for needed infrastructure improvements. I think the world of her. Most Democrats understand she just has to say certain things," end quote, in order to win a Republican primary. Now, no conservative, no Republican is going to get endorsed by the executive director of the Alabama Democratic Party. That's the second highest person in the Democratic Party ranks. Plus, in the primary, you had tens of thousands of Democrats that voted for Katie Britt. They shouldn't be voting in our primary, but they did, okay? They would not be voting for someone who is a conservative and a Republican. So those are pretty good examples of why I would submit that Katie Britt is neither a Republican nor a conservative. In fact, she is the Democrat nominee in the Republican primary, and we know that because the Democrats are supporting her.
Well, that's one of the things that befuddles so many of us in terms of how is it that she's able to get away with this. Now, I also understand that this whole question of what Senator Shelby did in making sure that Judge Moore did not get elected by proclaiming, come and just write in any candidate. We don't want, Judge Moore. And I know that, Jones himself has publicly said that what Shelby did was extremely helpful, meaning that his chief of staff, Katie Britt, was all part of that. Let me just ask you this whole question of her, of Katie Britt's being allowed to be on the ballot in the Republican primary. I know it's kind of late to be bringing this up, but let's assume for a second that had all of this come out earlier, would she have been kept from the ballot?
Well, I don't know how much courage and integrity the Alabama Republican Party leadership has. I hope that they have it. But they are in a difficult position in fairness to them. The Alabama Republican Executive Committee, Alabama Republican Party Executive Committee, removed from the ballot individuals who had supported Doug Jones in 2017. Now, they were supporting Doug Jones at what I call a soldier level. Here you've got Katie Britt and Richard Shelby at the general, at the commander level, correcting the effort to elect Doug Jones by getting Republicans to either write in somebody else than our nominee or to not go to the polls at all. So if the Alabama Republican Party Executive Committee is going to disqualify individuals who did little soldier level work, then certainly they should be disqualifying individuals who were leading the charge to elect Doug Jones. for whatever reason, though, the Alabama Republican Party's executive committee has not had the gumption to treat all of these candidates equally and fairly. Apparently, some candidates are more likely to be disqualified for lesser activity than other candidates like Katie Britt, who are engaged in a much broader level in helping to elect Doug Jones in 2017.
Well, you know, that's clearly a fear on the part of the Republican Party's establishment that they don't want to get crosswise with someone who they think may win, and that's one of the problems that we're dealing with here. But in the end, regardless of what the Republican Party is going to do or not do, it seems to me that once again we've got a flawed candidate that, you know, if she becomes the hopefully not the nominee, then it seems like all of us are going to have a major problem supporting someone like her. I can tell you right now, in the case of Governor Ivey, I'm not voting for Ivey. I wouldn't vote for her no matter what, okay? I may not vote for a Democrat, but I'm beginning to think that if that's the choice I have between a Democrat, this guy Boyd, as their senator nominee, or the Libertarian John Sophocles, if you're not there, then I think many of us are going to walk away. But be that as it may, let's just kind of stick with some of the issues that we do have something to say about here. Does it make sense for someone like Katie Britt to go on Breitbart Radio and say it's time for fresh blood? I'll be honest with you. I called in there, I think it was Friday or Saturday, when I heard what she was saying. But my point is, how does her claim to be fresh blood comport with the reality of who she really is, a lobbyist? And how long, I'm not sure how long she was up there as the chief of staff for Shelby, but she's no newbie to D.C. Is that right?
Well, she has been a career politician virtually all of her adult life, according to Mike Durant. That's his interpretation of her stature. This fresh blood thing, look, this is the same old problem in Washington, D.C., so I don't know how you can call yourself fresh when you're the same old problem and a part of it.
Exactly.
Keep in mind that she was Richard Shelby's chief of staff, helping to coordinate the effort to elect Doug Jones, a Democrat, who was pro-abortion, who was pro-open borders, who was pro-Obamacare, who voted to impeach Donald Trump, and who voted against every one of our Supreme Court justice nominees. So that's the old style, the establishment wing of the party. That's not the new blood. The new blood is the Tea Party wing of the party, the MAGA wing of the party, the conservative wing of the party, and we're fighting back as best we can, but unfortunately, the establishment wing of the party has a lot of money. And let me give you an example. You've got four individuals who effectively have bought this Senate seat for Katie Britt, unless the voters say otherwise tomorrow. Four. They have come up with $15 million minimum to help Katie Britt win this election. So you want to know who it is who is predominantly behind these negative attack ads, the mudslinging first against me for 2 months, then destroyed the credibility and integrity and reputation of Mike Durant for 2 months, and now is targeting me again over the last 3.5 weeks. Four people are responsible for $15 million of that. One is Richard Shelby at $5.5 million. Everybody should understand Richard Shelby. He is more responsible for our $30 trillion debt than any other American in history. I challenge anyone, I defy anyone, to come up with someone who's been more responsible, in as much as when Richard Shelby was first elected to Congress as a Democrat, our debt was less than $1 trillion. Now it's more than 30 times worse, and Richard Shelby's been on the Appropriations Committee for many decades. That's the committee that spends all this money that we don't have to borrow again and can't afford to pay back.
Right.
Richard Shelby's one of them. Then you got Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell has his own conflicts of interest. He has publicly disclosed receiving $5 to $25 million from his father-in-law and or sister-in-law, who have made hundreds of millions of dollars because they've been anointed by the Communist Chinese Party to engage in shipping of Chinese products to the United States of America. That's a huge conflict of interest, that you have people who are loyal to the Communist Chinese Party who are in-laws of Mitch McConnell and giving Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, $5 to $25 million, according to Mitch McConnell's own disclosures. So that's the second person. The third person is a fellow by the name of Jimmy Rain. You may know him from Auburn University, where he's been meddling in their sports program to a very large degree. And I'll defer to the Auburn people whether that meddling has been good or bad with respect to Auburn football.
Right.
But that's $3 million. Then you've got a defense contractor in the Tennessee Valley who's very much beholden to political figures and wants folks, quite frankly, who will, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Keep in mind, these defense contractors, some of them make gazillions by overbilling, legally overbilling taxpayers, taking advantage of taxpayers, and making money hand over fist, particularly when they've got politicians who are helping them along the way. So those four individuals, over $15 million worth of pro-Katie Britt or anti-Mo Brooks or anti-Mike Durant attack ads. And heck, we are in effect, the people of Alabama, we're just saying these four people can decide who our next senator is going to be. Why do we even bother with elections if we're going to do that?
Exactly.
I don't agree that this Senate seat should be bought and sold, nor do I agree that Richard Shelby and his political last will and testament should bequeath it to somebody. It's not his to bequeath. But if American people don't stand up, if the Alabama citizenry and voters don't stand up tomorrow, then that's the message, that this seat can be bought if you get four masters of the universe kind of people who have tons of money doing what they've done.
Well, you know, last Thursday you were down here at a fundraiser that we had, and you articulated a way by which we could, you know, beat the masters of the universe. Why don't you just take the last couple of minutes here and finalize a path to victory for you, Mo?
It all comes down to turnout. If Republicans and conservatives vote, we win. If Democrats, liberals, rhinos, establishment, special interest groups vote in large numbers, then Katie Britt wins. So the turnout tomorrow is expected to be relatively light. People of Alabama, you should not complain if you do not vote tomorrow. And if you vote for Katie Britt, don't complain about the consequences. And there will be adverse consequences. I can assure you of that with 100% certainty. I've served in public office on a number of different capacities in long periods of time, and I can spot a rhino a mile away. And Katie Britt is a rhino who is masquerading as a conservative, masquerading as a Republican, with the help of tens of millions of dollars, not only from these four individuals I mentioned previously, but also special interests generally, and most particularly special interests that demand open borders and cheap foreign labor so that they don't have to hire American citizens. So if you want a conservative, someone who believes in the foundational principles that have made America great and has the backbone to fight for it, then listen to Senator Rand Paul, listen to Senator Ted Cruz, listen to Eagle Forum, listen to all the different groups who have said, Mo Brooks is the conservative of this race. Alabama, we need you to step up to the plate, ignore these shamelessly dishonest attack ads, and do the right thing for our country or bear the consequences. So tomorrow, that's the litmus test. Everybody can hear my voice. People who sacrificed their lives that you have the right to vote tomorrow, exercise that vote. And I'm Mo Brooks. I ask for your vote for the United States Senate. I'll respect whatever decision you make. But I'll tell you, if we get another rhino in Washington in the Senate, then expect more of the same.
Well, Congressman Mo Brooks, thank you so much for coming on today. That was a superb ending to this. And tomorrow we will be on out there waving signs urging everyone to vote for you. Thank you so much, Congressman. We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Thank you for all you've done, Lou, and trying to help voters understand the truth of the matter.
Yes, sir. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Well, folks, you know, it is discouraging to hear that four people have poured in $15 million pretty much against Mo Brooks and Durant. But you saw the kinds of things that that came in the mail, lies about who Mo is, calling him a tax tax spender, a tax raiser. You heard that Trump himself said that Mo Brooks was woke? You've got to be kidding me. You know? So I think as we get into, you know, tomorrow morning, it's critical for you to assess the truth about these things, but it's also critical for you to understand what is going on here. And I think if you make that connection, you're going to go out there and vote for Mo Brooks tomorrow. Now, here's another individual that Common Sense has supported all these years. We have continued to support him, and that is State Auditor. Well, actually, it's the State Agitator, Jim Ziegler. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Dr. Lou, and your tens of thousands of listeners.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Well, listen now, Jim. You know, I know tomorrow is a big day. We just went through that with Mo Brooks. You have your own race going on here. Why don't you give us a sense of how the election is coming out for you, and what are your concerns, and what can we do to help you?
We are wrapping things up now, and I feel like we've seen 50,000 people all over the state of Alabama, and I appreciate every one of them. The so-called experts are saying that there's going to be a poor voter turnout, that only 10% to 12% of the people who are registered to vote will turn out to vote. I hope that we the people prove them wrong, and that people turn out tomorrow to exercise our Alabama duty and our American duty.
Yeah, well, this turnout question, you know, Jim, after the primary, we had internal discussions about why turnout is so low, and I mean, we can go on and on about this. The fact is that there's nothing new about questions about turnout. What I do find new and troubling, though, is that your local newspaper, the Sunday before the primary, they finally ran an article that explained who's running and all like that. Just yesterday, on the front page, they had a little block there that says, election is the next day, turn to page 8 for information. So here again, just 10 years ago, the Press Register would hold interviews with candidates, would publish those results, would offer the kinds of, recommendations based on their interviews. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, at least they were doing something about it. Today, I mean, people just don't know about tomorrow's election, and it's unfortunate, but there is a systemic issue here. But speaking of systemic issues, this question of election fraud has come up over and over again, and I know that you as a candidate obviously have made election integrity one of your key platforms. So you want to talk a little bit about that, and then let us, quickly get to some of the other issues that you might want to press on in our closing minutes here.
Yes. If we lose our ability in the United States to elect or defeat who our government officials are going to be, we have lost our constitutional republic. Ben Franklin, when he came out of the Constitutional Convention, had a lady on the street ask him, "Dr. Franklin, what kind of government do we have?" And he said, "Ma'am, a republic, if we can keep it." Well, I've never, until now, thought that we could possibly lose our constitutional republic. But now, I worry. And one of the many reasons is that people do not have confidence that the elections are fair and accurate, that the one who's declared the winner was actually the winner. So we've got to make sure that the elections are fair and accurate, and then restore that trust of the public. I have some plans already to how to do that, and I'm going to be setting up a citizen working group to look at two dozen different ways. This thing has a lot of moving parts, and even today, the national organization, the Heritage Foundation, published a list of what they call best practices for secretaries of state in elections. And we'll be looking at that and many other suggestions. We have got to have fair and honest elections, and we've got to restore the confidence of the public.
Well, Jim, I think you're exactly on the right track with that. And you're right that this is a complex issue, this question of these voting machines. The argument about Dominion, I think, is an open and shut case. When Texas said no to Dominions, that's all we needed to know. But I do think that in our case, Secretary of State Merrill has argued that our machines are not capable of being penetrated. And I think that's something that you, as Secretary of State, obviously need to look into. And I know that you've been working with people who have that same view. So is that a fair statement to say that you are going to look into this whole business of the Alabama machines and whether or not they can be penetrated?
Election integrity is so vital that it does not hurt to double check and triple check. The main theme of the study done by the Heritage Foundation is that we've got to do an audit just as we would on a business. A business is audited annually or anytime there's a problem, and the elections should be run business-like. And it's going to be interesting to see how much of the Heritage Foundation study should be applied here in Alabama. Yes.
Well, Jim, we've got a couple of minutes to go. You want to just summarize your last minute thoughts here as before we go to the booths tomorrow?
Yes. I am now the only candidate from the Alabama Gulf Coast remaining. I'm the last man standing. In the May primary, we did not have any candidates from Mobile or Baldwin County elected. In the runoff tomorrow, I am now the only candidate remaining from Mobile and Baldwin County. And we have been shortchanged by Montgomery. We send tens of millions of dollars to Montgomery from the coast, from our tourism, our industries, our seafood, our ports, and yet we don't have the representation up there. I will be our voice, our eyes and ears for the Gulf Coast if I'm blessed to be nominated tomorrow. If I fall short, we will not have a statewide official at all. Let's not let that happen. Let's elect the coastal guy, Jim Ziegler.
Well, I know that the common sense has always supported you. Your advocacy for the grassroots movement's ideas and policies have stood out. There's no question that without you doing what you did on the toll, we may very well have had a $6 toll. We may very well have lost our right to vote for your State Board of Education member. Ivy may very well have implemented her stupid prison plan. So the fact is that you have done a lot for the grassroots, and I hope that tomorrow the grassroots will reward you in a deserved way to make you the next Secretary of State of Alabama. Jim, thank you so much, and the best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Dr. Luke.
All right. We'll talk to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Sorry.
Lori gets a ding on that one. Here you go. Well, I mean, here it is. The hay's in the barn now, and it's really going to be up to us to go out and vote. I know that when we had that fundraiser from Congressman Brooks last week, he basically said, we need you and your family to go out and vote and get 9 people that you know. I guess really what we should be asking for is get 20 people to vote with you. Get them out there. And here again, if you want a real rhino, then that's what you're going to get if you don't go out and vote for Mo Brooks. And that's what is so frustrating about this. This money that has been poured in by those 4 people that we were talking about, $15 million to destroy Mo Brooks', you know, reputation, lies about them. And I do think that, you know, at this juncture, Mo Brooks is the only MAGA candidate that's there. And I hope that everyone who's listening will take that into account and do what's right tomorrow and vote for Mo Brooks and then vote for Jim Ziegler. All right, Lori, there it is. So another day, another dollar, and here we go. We'll have all of the results for this next Monday, and then we can certainly hopefully have an exuberant, you know, morning that says, oh boy, we kicked some butt out there, and by God, we're going to do it again in November. What do you think?
I think you're an incredible advocate, and we appreciate you getting the word out.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, have a great weekend. Stay cool. And listen, don't use too much water. Otherwise, we're going to have a shutdown of the water. All right, be good out there. We'll see you. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus on 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. This program has been recorded, and you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular programming.